This time, he unlatched the reel so that it could turn freely.
Okay,
he panted, breathless now himself.
I'm ready to start my little walk. Good luck, man,
said Connors.
Vaya con Dios,
Joanna replied. Again with God, Jamie thought. Which God? The nasty old man of the Hebrews? The pacifist Christ? Or Coyote, the trickster? He's the one who's been working against us here on Mars. The old trickster. He must be howling with laughter at us, stuck in a stupid, dry mud hole. Volsnesensky's voice cut into his thoughts.
Did you say you are starving toward us? Yes, Mikhail. I'll be moving to your right, around the perimeter of the crater's edge. I don't see you. You will in a few minutes. I'll be there in an hour or so,
Jamie said, knowing he was being wildly optimistic. Even with the cable drum resting firmly on the ground now and unreeling easily, he felt as if he were dragging the entire rover and all its contents with each step he took.
It would be good if you got here before the sun went down,
Vosnesensky said. The thought startled Jamie. He turned halfway around and saw that the tiny, wan sun was already nearing the distant rocky horizon.
I'll try,
he said into his helmet microphone.
Sure don't want to be out in the dark if I can avoid it.
Dr. Lee had started to write his report to Kaliningrad. He had wanted to be precise in his words, exact in the information he gave to the mission controllers. Knowing that the news that the ground team had contracted scurvy would hit like a thunderbolt and immediately be relayed up the chain of command to various national directors and then to the politicians, Lee knew he had to be extremely careful in whatever he decided to say. Hours later, he still sat in his private quarters staring at the glowing computer screen. It was empty. He had not written a single word. The only news from the ground was that Ivchenko had crippled his knee. With a sigh of exasperation, more at his own failure of nerve than anything else, he tapped at the keyboard to get a status report from the ground team. Seiji Toshima's round face appeared on the screen. After a few Japanese bows and hisses, the meteorologist explained that he had the comm watch for the moment. Zeman was manning the link with Vosnesensky in the second rover. Lee wanted to inquire about Vosnesensky's rescue attempt, but instead he heard himself say, "Can you put me through to Dr. Reed, please?" The only indication of surprise from Toshima was the barest instant of hesitation before he replied,
"Yes, sir, of course."
It took a few minutes, but at last Reed's face appeared on his screen. The Englishman was sitting in the rover cockpit, the expression on his face wary, guarded. "I would like to have a medical report," Lee said. Reed ran a finger across his mustache.
"Well, Ivchenko's knee will need to be drained once we get back to the dome and I have the proper facilities for it. Vosnesensky is progressing well enough, but he's exhausted and quite weak. It takes several days to recover from scurvy, even with high doses of vitamin C."
"And the others?"
"Difficult to say. Waterman apparently feels well enough to walk from his rover to ours, although he seems to be moving awfully slowly."
Lee ran out of questions. He sat in front of the display screen, trying to find a polite way, a way that was not painful, to bring up the subject he really wanted to discuss. "I am in the process of making my report to Kaliningrad," he said at last.
"Yes,"
Reed responded. "I intend to give you full credit for deducing the nature of the illness and its cause." The Englishman seemed to stiffen.
"And full blame, I should think, for not being clever enough to deduce it sooner."
"There is no blame."
"Responsibility, blame, it's all the same thing, isn't it? I was the responsible man, the medical officer. I found out that's the simple truth of it."
"No one could foresee that a meteor strike would have such consequences."
"No?"
Reed almost smirked.
"Then what are you going to put into your report? That it was an act of God?"
"It was an unforeseen chain of events," Lee said. The Englishman shook his head.
That won't wash. A mission such as this can't admit to an unforeseen chain of events. The controllers in Kaliningrad and Houston want everything planned and spelled out in the finest detail. Unforeseen events are not allowed. For God's sakes, that's why they're called controllers, isn't it?
I do not want you to be the scapegoat.
How can you avoid it?
The answer came to Lee as he spoke. By emphasizing that you discovered the cause of the malady and have taken the necessary steps to cure it.
And he emphasizing that my clumsiness caused it, and it took me weeks to realize what had happened? No matter how you write your report, that fact will stand out like a lighthouse beacon, as it should.
You are too hard on yourself.
Not as hard as Kaliningrad will be. My career in the Mars Project is over. It will be once we get back. We both know that.
Lee studied the Englishman's image on his screen. Reed had changed. It seemed as if he had aged. There were lines around his mouth that he had never noticed before. And yet, he did not appear to be angry or even particularly unhappy. Reed seemed strangely satisfied with the idea that he would be blamed for the illness. He seemed almost relieved to think that he would never be permitted to return to Mars. Earth. Houston.
It must be bad, said Alberto Brumado. Very bad. Joanna refuses to speak to me. Something must be terribly wrong.
For the first time since Edith had met him, Brumado looked his 60-some years. His face was lined with worry. His boyish grin had been replaced by a somber, fearful frown. She sat on the bed next to him.
Do you think the project people aren't telling you the whole story?
They had taken adjoining rooms at one of the dozen hotels lining the road that passed the Johnson Space Center, neither Brumado nor Edith even thinking ahead far enough to consider who would pay for her room. As they had checked in, Edith had noticed that the lobby was filling up with reporters and camera crews. They sensed that something was happening. A big news story was about to break. Somebody was leaking information. Brumado wrung his hands.
Johanna is trapped in the rover, and they are all ill. Apparently they have come down with some sort of vitamin deficiency disease. Holy Lord, Edith breathed. How bad off are they? That is what I do not know. I wanted to speak with Johanna, but she refused to talk to me. Refused? Why?
I don't know, he shouted.
Edith's mind raced. Jamie must be sick too, then. Stuck out there in the wilderness and sick. Maybe dying. And all those news hounds gathering down in the lobby, like buzzards, circling over a wounded deer. And the project still wants to keep a blackout on the news? She asked. Brumado nodded, his face a portrait of misery.
My baby is dying out there, and she won't even speak to me.
Alberto, the blackout won't work. The reporters already know something big is stirring. It's only a matter of time until somebody spills their guts, and then you're going to have a three-ring circus here. His deep, dark eyes focused on her, as if seeing her for the first time.
You want to break the story, is that it? If I don't, someone else will. Or agreement. That doesn't matter to you anymore?
This is my big chance, Alberto. And yours.
Mine?
You're the soul of the Mars Project. Everybody calls you that, right? Well, now's the time for you to get in front of those cameras and tell the world what's happening up there on Mars. Tell it your own way. You've got to be the spokesman for the project now. You've got to be the link between them and the rest of the world.
I can't. The project administration would never allow it. They have their own media relations staffs, their own spokespersons.
Edith shook her golden curls.
It's got to be you, Alberto. Everybody in the world knows you and trusts you. They've been watching you on their TVs for more than 30 years. You're as respected as old Walter Cronkite, for Lord's sake. You've got to be the one who faces the media.
He got up from the bed and paced to the curtain window.
You can tell the world what's happening, Alberto. Tell it your way, the right way. Otherwise, those reporters are going to get bits and pieces from leaks and hints, and they'll put their own suspicions and guesswork on the air. It'll be a fiasco. A grade A numero uno disaster for the Mars Project. Every enemy the project's ever had will be on TV screaming and yelling their heads off. You know how they work. If you don't get in front of the cameras, and damn soon, they will.
But
My daughter,